We're turning God's Word tonight to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, read the first 14 verses of the chapter. Take notice of the fact that beginning in verse 3, we have a listing of the spiritual blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. And one of those blessings is what we find in verse 7, that we have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And that's going to be the focus for us tonight, focus of the sermon tonight as well. Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Thus far, we read God's Word. It's on the basis of this passage of Scripture and many others that we have the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism. In Lord's Day 21, and we'll look at question 56 tonight, you can find that on page 12 in the back of your Psalter. In question 56, the Catechism asks, what believest thou concerning the forgiveness of sins? That God, for the sake of Christ's satisfaction, will no more remember my sins, neither my corrupt nature, against which I have to struggle all my life long, but will graciously impute to me the righteousness of Christ, that I may never be condemned before the tribunal of God. Let's now pray and ask God's blessing on the preaching. Father in heaven, we are thankful that we may hear this word of the gospel concerning the forgiveness of sins. We're thankful that we may hear this not only so that we may know that our greatest need is met in Jesus Christ, but our desire as well is that Thy name would be glorified and praised. We pray that this word would work in us a greater sense of awe as we stand before Thee, so that we would see Thy greatness and glory as the God who has given to us the gift of forgiveness. We are so thankful for this gift, and we pray then, Father, that we would grow in an understanding of this gift so that day by day we would better praise and glorify Thee, the God of our salvation. Give us hearts that are open to receive Thy word. Work in us by Thy Spirit. Give strength to Thy servant that he may be faithful in the proclamation of this word as a servant of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen. Tonight, we consider the doctrine of forgiveness. We're considering the biblical truth of the forgiveness of sins. As we consider that doctrine, we want to understand what forgiveness is. We want to understand how it's possible that God would forgive our sins. We want to understand why we need the forgiveness of our sins. But we have to make sure that as we consider tonight the doctrine of forgiveness, that it's not simply for us, we want to grow in head knowledge. We want a better understanding and knowledge of this forgiveness. It's more than that. Remember that this is part of what we confess. It's part of what we believe. We believe that there is the forgiveness of sins. And that's the question tonight. Do we together believe that all of our sins are forgiven because Jesus paid for them by His death on the cross? Do we believe that God will not punish us for our sins? That's what we want to see and understand. Not just being able to define forgiveness and understand what the Bible says about it, but understand it so that we would be strengthened in our faith in this important aspect of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tonight, we see and understand that forgiveness is one of the greatest gifts that God gives us. I had first thought to use as the theme of my sermon tonight, our greatest need. That would be a fitting theme for the sermon tonight. But I was reminded in meditating upon this and working on the sermon that I have to be careful that the focus doesn't become too much on us. Forgiveness is our greatest need. But when we understand that, then we understand as well that forgiveness is one of the greatest gifts that God gives to us. And we want that focus to be on God and what He has given to us in Jesus Christ. And that's the focus as well of Ephesians 1. It's speaking in Ephesians 1 of the spiritual blessings that God, in His grace, has given to us because of our union with Jesus Christ. So in Jesus Christ, we receive great blessings. And as I said at the beginning, Ephesians 1 gives a listing of those blessings that we have because of our union with Christ. And one of them, is forgiveness. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, redemption that Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. And that's what we see then tonight, that this forgiveness that we read of in Ephesians 1 verse 7 is one of the greatest blessings, the greatest gifts that God has given to us. I don't name it as the greatest. The greatest would be the fellowship that we have with God forever. The relationship of friendship we have with God through Jesus Christ. But the way in which we have that relationship of friendship with God through Jesus Christ is through this gift of the forgiveness of sins. And the only way we know that we have this gift of friendship with God is in knowing that all of our sins are forgiven. And so that's why we see and understand that forgiveness is one of the greatest gifts that God gives to us. When we understand that, then we will be filled with an awe of God. Our awe of God is not just knowing His power, it's not just knowing His sovereignty, it's not just knowing His justice. We'll have an awe of God, an appropriate awe of God. And we see also that He's a God who forgives, and He's a God of grace. So may our hearts be filled with awe for the God who forgives our many sins. We consider this truth then under the theme, God's gift of forgiveness. We notice first the gracious gift. Secondly, the needed confession. This is how we come to know this gift of forgiveness. And then finally, the changed life. What is forgiveness? Well, it is a gracious gift. And this gracious gift of God is God's promise that He will not punish us for our sins or see us in those sins. So you see, forgiveness is the promise of God, a promise that He speaks to us, that He makes known to us. And that promise is that He will not punish us for our sins. His promise is not that He will not punish our sins. No, He does punish our sins, but His promise is He will not punish us for our sins. Our sins have been punished. They've been punished in Jesus Christ. But God's promise is that that punishment will not come on us. That He will forgive our debts. That He will loose us from this bondage, the bondage of the punishment that we deserve for our sins. God promises us that He will not hold our sins against us. That's the promise He speaks in the Holy Scriptures. And now the promise that He speaks to us tonight and many other times as well through the preaching of the Gospel. And that's what you find throughout Scripture. You find throughout Scripture this promise of God that He will not see us according to our sins and that He will not punish us although our sins are great and many. What that means is that in the eyes of God, we're not identified by the sins in which we walk. God doesn't see us as idolaters, as coveters, as adulterers, as backbiters, and add to that list of sins on and on and on. God doesn't see us that way. The Catechism points out to us, He sees us as those who are not only forgiven, but righteous in Christ. And that's because, as we read in Isaiah 38, verse 17, He casts our sins behind His back. What a beautiful idea. The idea is that when something's behind your back, you don't see it. That's what God does with our sins. We may do that in our own lives. We put something behind us. We use that terminology, in fact. We're going to put it behind us. I'm not going to dwell on that. I'm not going to focus on that. That's what God does in forgiveness. He says, I'm not going to focus on that sin. I'm not going to see you in the light of your sin. That's not going to be how I see you. That's what God says when He forgives us. He promises us that He will not do that. We have the saying, out of sight, out of mind. That's the idea here. God puts our sins out of His sight. Therefore, they're out of His mind. He doesn't see us in the light of them. That may be hard at times for us to believe because we know and understand how great our sins are, but this is the promise of God to us. Along with that, we find that beautiful idea of forgiveness in Psalm 103. Psalm 103, striking verses there concerning forgiveness. Verse 10 and then verse 12. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. There it is. He will not punish us. He will not punish me for my sins and you for your sins. That's what that is saying. And then verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. And that's the idea there too, removing something as far as east is from west. We need to put two people back to back. They don't see each other. As far as that distance is, that's how far God removes our sins from us. God removes them. He removes the punishment of our sins. That's an amazing promise of God. And we understand how amazing that is, not only from the perspective of that promise that God makes and the concept of His justice, but we understand that from the perspective of the fact that we are forgiven much. We're not forgiven just a little bit. If we think that, we think wrongly. And Jesus points out in the New Testament, if we're thinking we only are forgiven a little, then we're only going to forgive others a little. But when we understand we're forgiven much, we're going to forgive others much as well. Beloved, you and I are forgiven much. So much that much is immeasurable. We've been forgiven much. We understand that the more we see our sins. There are so many sins that we commit. There are sins that we commit in the words that we speak. There are the sins that we commit in the actions we take. There are sins that we commit in everything that we do, but that really just scratches the surface when it comes to our sins. In addition to that, there's the sins that we find in our own minds, the thoughts that never get formed into words or actions, but they're sinful thoughts that arise from hearts that desire wrong and sinful things. How many sinful desires, how many sinful thoughts don't come into our hearts and come into our minds? We maybe don't act on them. Maybe because we want to serve God, but at many other times, maybe it's simply because of we're afraid what others are going to do and how they're going to respond, but we don't act upon them, but still, there's so much sin that's part of that. Just start adding them up. You can't find a calculator with enough digits on it to keep track of all of those sins we commit before God. And then, in addition to that, if that's not enough, the Heidelberg Catechism reminds us of our sinful natures. I was just talking to some men this morning after church, and one of them was saying that their young son was asking in regard to baptism, well, you know, why does he need to be baptized? My baby brother doesn't sin. Well, it doesn't seem like it, and there are sins that we commit even when we're babies. But we remember even before we commit any sins, we have sinful natures that need to be forgiven. Our sinful natures need to be forgiven. That adds to the much that we are forgiven by God. Beloved, we need forgiveness because of the weight of the guilt that comes from all of these sins that we commit against God. We commit so many sins against God, and we deserve punishment for those sins. And we know the experience of guilt, the great burden of guilt. David said the experience of guilt was so great that it was like all of his bones were being crushed. If you had a broken arm or a broken bone, we know that that can be painful. But think about every bone in our body being crushed. That's the pain of the guilt of his sin that David experienced. And we as God's people know that experience of guilt as well. But God's promise to us is, I don't see you in the light of those sins. I will not punish you for those sins. But God says that we are acceptable before Him, the one with whom we have to do. And that's what's most important for us to know. Forgiveness addresses our guilt and even the accompanying shame of our own sinfulness. And what forgiveness does is it assures us that we are acceptable before God, even though there are many, many sins that we commit. This promise of God is a gracious gift of God. That's Ephesians 1, verse 7, the passage we read tonight. In whom, that's in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. We might ask, yet with all of this, with the burden of our guilt still weighing heavily upon us, How can I believe this promise of God? How do I know that God actually does not view me in the light of my sins and that God will not punish me for my sins? Well, you see, God's forgiveness flows out of the very character of who God is. That's what Ephesians 1 verse 7 is saying. He's a God of grace. And we know what that grace is. That grace is undeserved favor. Favor that God shows to His people that is completely undeserved. So the question is how can God, who hates sin, how can He forgive? Well, we should understand God does hate sin. We know that. That's why we experience guilt for our sins. Sin is revolting to God. It's revolting to Him because it's against His very character. He's a holy God. He's a pure God. He's dedicated to the glory of His name. And He calls His people to be dedicated to the glory of His name as well. And whenever we sin, we're saying, no, I'm not going to be dedicated to the glory of God. I'm going to be dedicated to my own glory and my own honor. That's why it's revolting to God. He's being replaced. And He's God. And we can understand that idea of something being revolting to Him, that He despises it. I've just been reading in the last couple of weeks a book, a fictional book, but yet realistic, of things that were happening in the concentration camp of Auschwitz, where the Jews there had abominable things done to them by Hitler. And when some of the people who are living yet went through that, when they saw some of those things, they simply could hardly believe what they're saying, and they vomited because of what they were seeing. It was awful. That's our sin before God. I have a pretty strong stomach, but this past week I did something that made me gag a couple of times. Then you ever had to clean out one of those traps in the sink that's all full of hair and everything else, and it stinks. That's our sin before God. It stinks. That's the experience we have then of our guilt. And then we think about the things that are going on in the world today, the abortion, the pedophiles, and what they're doing as we hear that in the news, and that's revolting to us. It's gross and disgusting. That's our sin before the one true and living God. That helps us to understand, just in a small way, how much God hates sin because it is against His very character. He does so much for us. And we respond with sin, with rebellion, with disobedience to His Word and His commandments. And what's so awful, on top of all of that, as we commit the same sins again and again and again. That was what we said just a few moments ago. My sins are more than I can count, and my heart has failed for grief. How can we know that we are forgiven? Well, forgiveness is consistent with the very being of God. He's a gracious God. He's a God who shows favor and mercy to those who are completely undeserving of that. And that's grace. Undeserved favor. It's not about our works. Ephesians 2 makes that clear. We're saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's all about God and the favor that He shows. And it's completely undeserved. The forgiveness that God gives us is an undeserved forgiveness because that's consistent with His grace. We see tonight how great God is when we understand properly the truth, the doctrine of forgiveness. And that grace of God is evident in the work of Jesus Christ. We have forgiveness because there is one who took our place. That's the beginning of verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood. We are forgiven because we have a Redeemer who bore the punishment for our sins, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So you see what comes together in this verse is grace, redemption, and forgiveness. Forgiveness is possible because God is a God of grace. And in that grace, He gave someone to bear the punishment of our sin. Yet God hates our sin. And He must punish that sin. God's beautiful promise is He won't punish me and He won't punish you for those sins because He already punished His only begotten Son for those sins that we have committed. The forgiveness of sins that we have in the blood of Jesus Christ assures us tonight that God is a God of grace. When you struggle to know forgiveness, it's really a question of theology. Do you believe? Do you believe that God is a God of grace? And that there's no sin that is too great to make us unworthy of that grace? Do we believe that? Do we know that? That's the beautiful promise that God gives to us, that He will not hold our sins against us. There is a way in which we come to know that forgiveness. The way the Scriptures teach us that we come to know that forgiveness is in the way of the confession of our sin. God speaks this promise of the forgiveness of our sins in the way of confessing our sins. We should never think that we can just go on sinning. Doesn't matter what we do and what we say in regard to our sin. God just forgives and that's the way it is. We don't come to know forgiveness unless we first confess our sin before God. That's what David makes very clear in Psalm 32, where he contrasts there time where he didn't confess his sin to time when later he does confess his sin. Psalm 32 is another one of those psalms in response to the awful sin that he committed of adultery and murder in regard to Bathsheba and her husband Uriah. In verses 3 and 4, David speaks there about what he experienced when he was silent concerning his sin, when he didn't confess his sin. He says there, "When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turning to the drought of sun." He's saying that when he kept silent in regard to his sin, all he experienced was guilt. The burden of that guilt is awful. He could find no peace. He could find no comfort. He could find no hope. He had a conscience that accused him, but that led him really to a spiritual depression in which his experience was that God was against him. Just look at the life of David and how that came to manifestation in his own life. He tried to deal with that sin. He tried to ignore that sin. When he heard about the sin of others, what did he do? Pointing the finger at them. How could they do such a thing? Remember when Nathan the prophet comes to him, tells him that story about the rich man and the poor man? David, his pride, points the finger at him. That man ought to be put to death. That's when Nathan turned it around. Said, "You're the man." And he was humbled. That's what failure to confess sin leads to. It doesn't lead to Christ. It leads to trying to deal with sin on our own. And when we try to deal with sin on our own, we try to make ourselves feel better. Because when we face our sin, we don't feel very good about ourselves. We experience that guilt. And so we'll point the finger at others. Look at what they're doing. We'll try to make ourselves feel better in that way. We shift the blame. Yeah, I did that, but if she wouldn't have, if he wouldn't have, we shift the blame, pointing at others and their own sinfulness. And in that, beloved, there is no relief, there is no comfort, and there is no hope. But David found relief, he says, when he cried out to God and confessed his sin. Those are the next verses. Verse 5, "I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. David experienced forgiveness in the way of confessing his sin before God. That's the only way. Now let's understand that rightly. This does not make forgiveness conditional. The idea is not that we have to do something before we are forgiven. Well, that's not the idea at all. We know that salvation is not by works. Ephesians 2 makes that very clear. It's not about our works. We're saved by grace and by grace alone. That means our salvation is fully and completely the work of God. My works don't save me. When it comes to forgiveness, my works don't save me. Remember, the idea is how do I come to know, to experience the forgiveness of sins? And God says, this is the way it works. The way it works is that you acknowledge your sin. The way it works is you confess your sin. The way it works is you come to see and know and understand that the only answer to your sin is found in God and His grace and in the blood of Jesus Christ. And only when you come to see and know that, in the way of confessing your sin, will you know and experience that there is forgiveness. You see, that's what God does in that. When we confess our sins, we do that because God has broken us. He's the one who, in His grace, brings us to our knees. Maybe that's after a period of time in which we're trying to find our own way out of sin. And He shows us that's not the way to find it. Maybe that's through someone else who comes to us and holds up the mirror of God's Word and says, brother, sister, you're walking in sin. You need to be repent. Just as God used Nathan the prophet for David and his confession and his knowledge of forgiveness. But God's the one who brings us to our knees so that we cry out, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. You see, God wants that because we're only going to see and understand grace, and we're only going to see and understand the cross when we come to the end of ourselves. When our guilt is so great that we know the only answer to that is the cross of Jesus Christ. And so God's promise is for those who are broken by their sin, broken in the knowledge of their sin. The Spirit breaks us, and the promise of God comes to us then and assures us that our sins are forgiven. God is speaking that to us tonight. But understand, if you're holding on to your sin, if you're not confessing that sin before God like you should, and you're not looking to the cross alone for deliverance from that sin, you can be assured you're not going to experience or hear tonight the forgiveness of your sins. God doesn't give comfort in that way. So we have to ask ourselves, is my heart hardened? Is it hardened to some of my sins? Then I'm not going to know forgiveness for that sin. God tonight calls us to repent, to make that confession of our sins. Because confessing our sins is part of true repentance. We want to see tonight how we are to confess our sins before God. And there are two things that we consider tonight. The first is where there's a true confession of sin, this is done with a godly sorrow and not a worldly sorrow. They were building on what we heard this morning and what we saw in the life of Judah and his brothers, where there was a confession that was with godly sorrow and not worldly sorrow. What's the difference between the two? Well, understand there's something similar. And worldly sorrow and godly sorrow, by the way, that's what we read of in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. And worldly sorrow and godly sorrow, there is sorrow. There are tears. There's sadness. There's brokenness. It can even be painful. But the issue is, what is one sorry about? The one who has only a worldly sorrow is not sorrowful that he or she has sinned against God. That's not their focus. But instead, they're focused on themselves and what they've lost. They're focused on the consequences and how the consequences affect their reputation, their job, their money, their family, those other things that are going on in their lives. And when that sorrow is only focused on self, there can be a change in behavior, but usually that's not going to last. Because that person's still living for self and not for God. Godly sorrow is different. Godly sorrow sees sin in relationship to God. Godly sorrow understands how God hates sin. How it's repulsive to Him. And that it's opposed to His being. That's what godly sorrow is focused on. I've sinned against God. That's what David came to. Psalm 51. Where he committed adultery and murder. Sins committed against his neighbors. But what does he say? Against thee and thee only have I sinned. It's all about what he had done against God. Godly sorrow is orientated toward God, and that produces a repentance that leads to long-lasting change in life. Godly sorrow identifies with Jesus Christ. When we understand that we belong to Jesus Christ, we repent of our sins with a godly sorrow. We understand and know that the only help that we have is found in the cross of Jesus Christ. What's so dangerous for us is that when we continue walking in sin, that we become numb to it. We become numb to it, like when you go to the dentist or the doctor and you get a shot to numb a certain area, and you don't feel anything. And they tell you after you go home, well, make sure you don't eat for a while until you have feeling left, because if you bite your tongue, you wouldn't even feel it if you cut it wide open. Well, that can happen to us spiritually. We become numb to our own sinfulness. We've done it so long, we don't see the danger of it. We don't see what's wrong with it anymore. We don't experience guilt for it. And when that happens, then we're not looking to the cross. We're not looking to God's grace. And we're certainly not then going to confess our sins. But beloved, we have to see here a beautiful part of God's grace and the forgiveness of sins. When we understand the kind of God that God is, we're not going to live trying to hide our sins, but instead we're going to openly confess our sins to God. Sometimes we forget this. God sees all of our sins. We can hide our sins from other people. And we think we get away with it. You cannot hide your sin from God. What that means is that when we confess our sins to God, we're not telling Him something He doesn't already know. He knows your sins. He knows my sins. He knows them better than I know them myself. And He knows your sins better than you know them yourself. But we have to see and understand that when we confess sin to God, He is a God of grace. We forget that sometimes. That's why we don't confess. We fail to see He's a God of grace. Why don't we want to confess sins to other people who we've hurt? Well, we know it's going to hurt them, but how are they going to respond? Beloved, we know how God's going to respond. We know because He's done it so many times before. In His grace, He forgives our sins. So an important part of this confession of our sin is that we confess our sins specifically to God. That we take some time to consider our own sinfulness and confess our specific sinful behaviors, our specific sinful thoughts, and that we confess as well the idols of our own hearts in the knowledge that God will not push us away. Instead, He'll draw us close and give us that promise. I will not punish you for your sins, and I will not see you in the light of these sins. I throw these sins behind my back. Because that's the kind of God that He is toward His people. We come to know this forgiveness in the way of confessing our sin with godly sorrow and confessing our sins specifically in the confidence that God is a God of grace. Knowing forgiveness makes all the difference then in our lives. It makes all the difference. It makes all the difference in our relationships with each other, and it makes all the difference in our relationship with God. But this is the difference that it makes. When we not only understand forgiveness, but believe forgiveness and believe that God is a God of grace, what does that produce in us? Well, it produces humility, but it also then, as it produces humility, produces in us an awe of God. How amazing it is that a God before whom our sins are repulsive, He forgives, and He's gracious. What else does that produce? What an amazing God we have. What an amazing God we serve. A God of grace. A God who forgives. When we understand that, know that, and that's produced in us by the working of the Holy Spirit, then that affects our relationships with each other. Those who know that we've been forgiven much will always be ready and willing to forgive others much as well. We will forgive in our marriages. We'll forgive in our homes. We're going to forgive as we have been forgiven. Are we doing that? Are we doing that? Are you holding on to anger against someone close to you? Family members, spouse, children, parents? Because of things that have happened long ago? And are we bitter? Are we resentful? You find yourself dealing with anger in your lives. That can be a sure sign. There's sin that you're holding on to that someone has committed against you. Are you failing to forgive someone because your thinking is all messed up? Your thinking is, their sin to me is greater than my sin before God. When we hold on to sin, that's what we're saying. Their sin against me is greater than my sin before God. It's not. It's false. It's the lie of the devil. The reality is my sin against God is greater than any sin that anyone can commit against me. We have to keep it in perspective. That's another way in which we become, in our own minds, bigger than God. If we're only willing to forgive a little, that shows we only think we've been forgiven a little. But when we know we've been forgiven much, we will forgive much as well. We won't think the worst of others. We'll love them, and we will serve them. That's the positive aspect of it. When we know the forgiveness of God, we're going to love and serve even those people who have done hurtful things to us. And then this affects as well our relationship with God. Those who know forgiveness live to express their thanks to God. When we're in awe of God, and especially of His grace, we want to thank Him. We want to praise Him. That's what we do here in our worship. We thank and praise the God who is gracious and forgives all of our sins. But it's more than that. We not only want to thank and praise God here, we want to thank and praise God in the whole of our lives. Knowing forgiveness doesn't leave us right where we're at in our walk with God. No, it produces sanctification. It produces a longing to serve God in all of its life, all of life. It changes us in the way we see our relationship with God and relationship to others. Do you know you've been forgiven much? Then that ought to be evident in the way that we live. Is it evident in the way that you live? That you're a people, that I'm a person. We've been forgiven much. We have been forgiven much. God's promise to us in the way of confessing our sins is, I won't punish you. I already punished my Son. Now God says to us, go and live that out in their lives day by day. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, what a blessing thou hast given to us. What an amazing gift we have. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of thy grace. Father in heaven, may we stand in awe of this great gift and of thee, the giver of this gift. And may we live to thank and praise thee, our God. Forgive us where we have not. Forgive us, Father, when we've not forgiven as we have been forgiven. Forgive us, Father, when we've not stood in awe of thee like we should. We've been so overcome by our guilt that we've failed to go to the cross of Jesus Christ. We've tried to deal with sin in our own way. Forgive us for that, too. And assure us now tonight that all of our sins, all of them, are forgiven for Jesus' sake. In His name do we pray. Amen.